Okay, that's that. Yeah, so the Gemara picks up over here the two dots on the bottom of Yudim and Aleph. This is some of my most favorite sugars. But over here, anyway, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Tana Rabbanan. Hechshavti mixas niskoi chavti b'teshlume niskoi kehechshir kol niskoi. Brisa that echoes basically the Mishnah, which is that if a person participates in creating a dangerous item or situation, so then he is obligated to pay for all of the damage that ensues, even though he only partially participated. Ketzad, when do you find such a scenario? Hachayfer bar tisha, uba akar vishlim al asara. If you remember a bar that is 9 tefachim deep, one would be obligated for, you know, was responsible for watching it if he dug the pit, and is chay for the damage that ensues, and not if it leads to someone's demise, because most normal people would not get, fatally get injured in a pit of 9 tefachim, but once it gets to 10 tefachim, that's a bar lamisa, not just a bar for nezikin. So a chav for bar tisha, bar achav ishlima lasar. Someone came along and dug it 10 tefachim deep. Ha'achron chayiv. So the one who completed the digging of the pit, he is chayiv. Udaloi kerebi. This is not like Rebbe. Meaning, so our mission is discussing what scenario. It was 9 tefachim deep. Someone came and dug it to 10. Everything now that follows damages and deaths that ensue, he's obligated for everything. Udaloi kerebi. This is not like Rebbe Desanya. We already have a brisa. Chayiv bar tisha ba'achav ishlim la'asara. If someone dug a pit to 9 and someone else came and completed it to 10, achron chayiv. The second person who completed the 10 is chayiv. Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, Achar Achron the Misa, the last one who dug it to 10 tefachim, he's chayiv for Misa because he's the one who made it a lethal pit. The other one, who dug it to 9, he's chayiv Shneim l'Nezikin. They both chayiv for the Nezikin that comes about as a result. The first one because he dug it to 9, and that could be chayiv for Nezikin. And the other one because he also participated in making it even worse, in making it a lethal pit, so they both share the responsibility. So our Mishnah, if we're going to assume that it's talking about this scenario of a pit that was 9 and someone came along and completed to 10, that he's chayiv for everything that incurs, all the injuries and death that come about as a result. So that would be not like Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that the second party that came and dug it to 10 is only chayiv for the Misa, but they share responsibility for the Nezikin. So Rav Papa Amar, Prabhupada said, no, our Mishnah is only talking about Misa v'divrei Yaakov. The lethality of the pit, if that's a word, the dangerous pit in terms of killing somebody, that is only attributed to the second party who made a 10th vachum deep, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Ika de'amri, lema de'loi karebi, a different version of how this discussion went down, that, what are we going to say, our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, Amar Papa l'misa v'divrei Yaakov, we're not talking about Nezikim, we're only talking about Misa, and everyone would agree that the person who completed it to 10th vachum deep is chayiv for the Misa. The problem with this, though, is that our Mishnah then is only according to the Rabbanah, not like Rebbe. Talking about Misa, L'divrei Yaakov. So either it's Nezikin and only like the Rabbanah, or it's Misa and not Nezikin. Either way, not ideal. Well, we would prefer not to have so many qualifications on the statement of the Mishnah, which don't appear in the text itself. So, Maskevah, Rab Zeira, Vesuleka, these are all the possibilities we have to attribute this statement of the Mishnah. Vaika, there's other possibilities that perhaps the Mishnah is addressing, that someone participated in the creating of a dangerous item, and yet he's chayiv for for all of the damages that come about as a result. Vaika, what is the scenario? Masar Shaira Lechamisha B'nei Adam. Someone gives his animal over to 5 people to watch. Upashba Echamehen. One of them is negligent. V'hizik, went out and did damage, chayiv. He's obligated for the damage. Okay? So you see, he only participated in creating the dangerous situation. There were 5 people responsible for this animal, yet he's chayiv for all the damages that come about as a result. So hey, chidami, the Gemara says, 1 minute, what's the case? Ilem de balavi hu lo havi minter. If you'll say without him, meaning 5 people still can't watch this animal. So, pshita. So then, he should be chayiv. So then it's obvious that he's chayiv. The EU COVID, it was his fault. So meaning, if we need him in order to watch it, we need him in order to watch it. I'm sorry, and he was not what I said. We need him. He's essential. It's not 5 people are redundant, and it could have been enough with 1. We need all 5, and he dropped the ball.
So of course he's chayev. Diyuk ha'aved. He's the one who did the nezik, and the other four were doing, you know, pulling their weight, and he wasn't. Elu debalavihu nami minter. We don't need him. He's redundant. So my ha'aved. So what did he do over here? Even though he was negligent, the other people should have picked up the slack. So my ha'aved. So maskevlor of sheishes. Okay, so we have another, let's suggest another possibility. What about someone who lights a fire and someone else comes along and adds sticks to the fire? Mara b'chavilo. So, hekidami, what's this? That only he should be chayv. Hekidami, what's the case? If without him the fire wasn't going anywhere. Pshita, of course, you're the one who started everything. Otherwise the fire was contained. El b'laviyu azla. Without you the fire was going. So, my covet, so what did you do? The fire was going anyway. When the Gemara says it's my ha'aved, that the fire was going anyway, so you only contributed, what does that mean? You contributed, but the fire was going anyway, so you should be putter? Or you should share in the responsibility, but you don't bear all of the responsibility. So look in Rashi. Rashi says my ha'aved. I don't know, the Rashi and the Tosfos are a little bit off in terms of their corresponding to the proper daf. So Rashi and the Amud Beis is really going on the Amud Aleph. Tosfos on the Amud Aleph is going on the Amud Beis. I don't know what happened over here, but so look at Rashi. Rashi says, "My ka'ovid," the first of the narrow lines in Yudama Beis, meaning the fire was going anyway, or what was the case by the animal that you couldn't watch it. Beloved ihu nami minter, without you, the animal should have been watched. So my ka'ovid. What did you do? Even though you were negligent, there were other people who could have watched the animal. So what does it mean, my ka'ovid? Rashi says, you should be potter. Ve'enu chayv klum. Either the fire was going on its own, or the animal was being washed even without you. So true, you were negligent. True, you added branches to the fire. But this was going to happen either way. You had nothing, meaning you contributed, yes, but it was happening without you. So you should be potter. That's how Rashi learns.
In any event.
In both of these two scenarios, of the animal that had redundant shomrim, and you were negligent, or the fire was going anyway and you threw a stick in, Rashi holds, when the Gemara said, my ka'ovid, the Gemara didn't only mean, why should you bear all of the responsibility? The Gemara meant to say, you should bear none of the responsibility, because this was going to happen anyway. That's right. And that's how the Mukhe Yosef learns. Have a look over here in Mukhe Yosef, Ois Aleph, Ihu my ka'ovid, the mechayavis lay. You shouldn't be chayv at all. The Haki Hilgasa. That is the halacha. They'll call Heicha de Belav Ihu lo havi mitbar klal. Without you, it wouldn't have gotten broken at all. Hu chayiv. Of course you're chayiv. It's poshit. Bechulam peturin. Meaning if we needed you to watch, we all five were essential, and you dropped the ball, of course you're chayiv. Or the fire wasn't going anywhere, you threw accelerant onto the fire, of course you're chayiv. It's poshit. Bechulam peturin. And if without you, it wouldn't have, and any of the scenarios, without you, it would have gotten broken, meaning someone else was negligent. The fire was going anyway without you. So I rishonim chayom v'achron poter. This was going to happen without me. So the fact that I threw a twig in, the fact that I threw accelerant in the fire, the fact that I was also negligent and watching the animal shouldn't matter. All other negligent situations would have the same structure. Okay, so according to Rashi Mukhe Yosef, if this hezek was going to happen without you, even though you contributed, you're entirely potter. But look at Tosfos, top Tosfos, Yoreh Mabeis. Tosfos disagrees. Bekula Shmaitz in Tzarech Loimar, in this entire sugya, we have to say that when the Gemara says, my ka'ovid, what did you, contribute? This was going to happen anyway. My ka'avit fei me'ach. We need more than others who were already negligent or the fire already poured accelerant in the fire. V'yishalim ko'echad chelko. What the Gemara means is you should pay your share. Ve'ein loymar delifter. No one would say that you should be potter. How does Tosfos know? D'sanya b'perikapara, because you have a b'raisa later on, and daf nodal from an aleph. What's that case? Echad ha'choykek bor liyud. Someone dug a pit 10 tefachim deep. It's already a lethal pit. Uba acher v'shlima la'esrim. Someone came and dug it 20 tefachim deep. Uba acher v'shlima la'shloishim. And a third person comes and he digs it 30 tefachim deep. Kulam chayovim. They're all chayiv. They share responsibility. Afagav debelav iu havimesa. Even though without you it was a lethal pit already, you came and contributed. You share responsibility. Okay? But you know what? The case is really different over there. And Tais already acknowledges that. Miu, bazet zarech ledakdeg. We really have to distinguish. V'chi b'shvil shehishlech ish eitz. So let's say there's a forest fire burning half of, you know, we were discussing yesterday, the forest in California. And one guy comes and he throws a little twig in. So now he's on the hook. You know, he's got a foot to, you know, one tenth of the bill. Let's say someone, you know, drops a match, a cigarette, and the forest fire in the hole, you know, county burns down. But one guy came and he threw a twig into the fire, roasted a marshmallow. So now he's obligated to pay along with the guy who started the forest fire. I mean, does that make any sense? He says, no, it makes no sense. Just because I contributed a little bit, this was happening without me. I should be chai for the whole thing. Hello, dummy. That's really not the same as that Gemara later on. Because there, each one dug it 10 tefachim deep. We each, independently with our actions, made it a lethal pit. 10. The next guy came and dug another 10. The next guy came and dug another 10. So that's like one guy, you know, with a pouring accelerant and another guy pouring accelerant at the same time. We both poured the same amount of accelerant under the fire that now we share the equal amount of responsibility. If one guy poured lighter fluid and the other guy dropped a twig, yeah, you can't compare the two. So they should not share responsibility. If a guy digs a pit to 10 and someone else comes and digs it to 11, he doesn't share responsibility when someone gets killed in the pit. He only dug it one tefach. I don't share responsibility. That's not the same as one who dug a 10, then 20, then 30. Yeah.
So then, Tosfos is then agreeing?
He's agreeing with Rashi partially. He's saying, if I didn't, even if I participated, but I wasn't, let's say one guy was, we were all negligent in watching a pit bull that was given to all five of us to watch. Yeah, you were negligent and I was negligent. So then we share the responsibility, even though you were negligent before me. But let's say you were really negligent, you left, and you know, I blinked. So then Tez is going to say, well, then you're really not the same. I wasn't as negligent as you were. Or one guy had to start a fire with accelerant, and I came and I threw a twig in. Nah, that's not the same. What we're talking about is one guy started the fire, and I came and he poured accelerant on it. You started, I poured accelerant. We both contributed equal fashion. Okay? So now we share the responsibility. But not if one, you know, participated in such a minimal fashion. Yeah? Shilte Giborim goes even further than Tosfos. Shilte Giborim, of course, printed on the side of the Rif in the back of the Gemara. So he argues like Tosfos that we share responsibility. And even if I only participated minimally, there was a bar of 10, someone came and dug it to 11, he's considered to be, you know, on the hook for if someone falls into the pit and gets killed. Says the Shilte Giborim, Mufi divrei ha-Tosfos, mashmu lehedya, da'afal pi she'esh ha-yoholech u'magiyah ad-makum ahu. Even though the fire was going to come to this place without you, shehizik below achavilos, without your bundles, shehosef zeh ha'achron, which this person came and added, mikol makom gam ha'achron chayv l'shalem chelko. Me'an ezek, he's obligated to pay. The dome ezeh l'machlish mashlich eitz kadam esok eish gadol, just like a person who throws twigs into a big fire, l'chol ferbor eser, u'ba'ach v'kog u'ba'ach o tefach, where someone came and dug another tefach into a 10-foot, you know, 10-tefach pit, the afal pi da yedei harishon hayabok yedei lahames. Even though the first one had enough to make the pit lethal, mikom mokum gam hasheni chayev vafilu shelo chakuk bo rak tefach. Even though the second guy only dug a tefach, he participated and he's on the hook. So if you have a forest fire, lomasho loyaleinu, a forest fire going on, one guy comes and throws a twig in. According to the Shulchan Gibayrim, he's on the hook for the entire municipality. No.
According to Rashi, fire is about to go out, and then you
pour gas. Oh, then you started the whole thing. You started the whole thing. No one contributed. The fire wasn't going anywhere. That's what the Gemara said. Of course you have to pay, and you have to pay the whole thing. But let's say it was going without you. And I came and I poured, you know, fuel on the fire.
So everyone would agree in that case that he'd be high.
No. Rashi. Oh, in your case.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's say it was going anywhere, and I poured fuel on the fire. Rashi says, I'm putter. Because it was going anyway. Taisa said, no, you share in the responsibility. You're not part, you share in the responsibility. And Shilgabam goes out even further. Even if you didn't do anything that could have continued the fire going, all you did was throw a twig in. You participated minimally. You're still on the hook for your share. Yeah, Dan.
What's the reason for the person who digs the extra 10, so from 10 to 20 and then 20 to 30?
Because each one of us dug a lethal amount. So that's why Tysus hears, yeah, then you share the responsibility.
It wouldn't increase the likelihood
Correct.
Of anyone dying. Like adding a twig, for instance, doesn't increase...
That's why Rashi holds your pater. But I would argue that it's not at 10 tefachim people die, at 9 tefachim they don't, and 20 and 10 are the same, and 30 and 20 and 10 are all the same. They're not. We know that that's not true. 10 tefachim is 3 feet. You fall 3 feet, a lot of people are not going to die. You fall 6 feet, you fall 9 feet, you fall 12 feet, 15 feet, I'm sure your statistics get worse and worse every time. So, yeah.
It seems like the Shildei Geborim is more citing on the aspect of, like, it has to do with his, like, intentions with, like, what he was doing.
Where do you see that?
It's not only he, like, says it, but, like, the fact that he's going to be chayiv even for minimally, like, he's going to be on the hook for it, like, because, like, he, just from the fact that he, was participated only minimally, like, it seems like, would he be saying, like, I guess, agree to the fact, like, would he be agreeing that, like, you might have to do, like, that guy was intent was to help cause the damage, or, like, and that's why he'd be chayiv, because he threw in even a little bit, so therefore... Something like that, or is that a bit of a stretch?
Meaning, let's say, I don't know, where do you see that intention plays any role?
I mean, it's more of an assumption.
I don't find that compelling. If you do something and you cause damage, your intention really doesn't matter. Other mu'ad li'olam. You always have to pay attention to, we have to be considerate and pay attention for the damage that we could cause to others. I don't think the intention plays a role here. Okay, so that's the rule. The Shulchan Yibarim sums it up over here. Mikan Yesh Lilmon, that whatever was going to happen, anyway, but you came and participated, you're obligated to pay. So what emerges is basically three opinions, same, the entire range. According to Rashi, if a hezek was going to occur without you and you participate at the end, even if you had a significant participation, you're pater. According to Tosfos, my ka'avid means no, you're no more obligated than anybody else. Which, of course, you share in the liability as long as you did something that was significant. And Shulchan Gibbon holds, even if you did something that was really insignificant in its own right, but you participated in the bringing about of the hezek, so you're on the hook for the whole thing. All right, yeah.
Who's the one who held Havala? Rav or Rav?
Who's the one who held what?
Mishum Havala.
Oh, that was Rav, yeah.
Rav?
Yeah.
Would he also, does everyone agree that 10 to 20 to 30 is...
It's all Hevel, yeah.
I'm saying it doesn't necessarily get worse.
Why you don't think you suffocate further the further down into the ground you go? I would assume you do.
Because of pressure.
However, we interpret Hevel. Hevel is a complicated concept to wrap our head around. The Gemara assumed it was bad air in the bottom of a pit once it gets 10 tefachim deep. What bad air is in the bottom of the pit? We don't know. So I would assume it means something like suffocate. I would assume that's what it's referring to. More like a cave type situation, but I would assume why can't it be the further deep you down you go, the worse it gets. I would presume it is. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Mask of Lerapapa. Okay, so we discarded these possibilities as possible scenarios that the Mishnah could be discussing, which would perhaps be without less stipulations and a little bit smoother in the reading of the Mishnah, because these just simply don't fit. There's no scenario where the last person who came and contributed should bear all of the responsibility. Either they share it, or it's on the initial party, or it's obvious that you bear the entire responsibility because you didn't even participate, you brought about the whole thing. So we're stuck. So the Gemara goes on to another possibility. Maskevla Rav Papa, Va'ikav, we have another scenario that perhaps the Mishnah could be talking about without as many conditions. Desanya, Hey, Sheyoshua al Safso Echad. 5 people are sitting on a bench. Velo Shavruhu. And they're sitting very nicely. No, nothing's breaking, nothing's cracking. Uba Echad v'yoshav alav v'shivro. Someone else comes down, right? A straw on the bench's back and breaks the whole bench. Ha'achron Chayev. Who's Chayev over here? The last guy. Oh, so you see, even though he only participated, he's Chayev. For everything, the Amar of Papa, this is only Kigon Papa Baraba. This is only with regards to people like Papa Baraba. Papa Baraba was known, Rashi says, as a Balbuser, yeah, a heavy man. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Ilema de Belav Ihulo Itbar, without him, meaning the last guy, it would not have broken Pshita. Obvious. What's obvious? Last guy comes. Five people sitting on the bench schmoozing. Nothing's going on. Another guy comes, sits down. The whole bench breaks. So who's obligated to pay? It's obvious you have to pay. The last guy. But no, without you, it's going to break anyway. So my COVID, what did you do? And again, here Rashi and Tosfos would have their machlokes. According to Rashi, you would be exempt. It was going to break without you. According to Tosfos, you participated. You'd have to share in the responsibility. It doesn't work. The Mishnah doesn't work. According to, again, this case doesn't fit into the Mishnah either. Where do you see a chidush that the last person who came and sat down bears the responsibility where he participated with others? If he caused the whole thing, of course he has to pay. If he didn't, you know, cause it, why should he be on the hook for the whole thing? Maybe he participated, so he should share in the responsibility. He shouldn't be on the hook for the whole thing, yeah.
Is there a similar machlokas Raj Tos was with the Pshita, that for Rashi, he would have to split the payment?
No, if it wouldn't happen without you, it's obvious. Then I think everyone would agree you share the responsibility alone. Fire's not going anywhere, it's contained, and I let it out. The animal was being watched, and I was poshea. Why should they bear responsibility? Because I was negligent. Yeah. So to over here, the bench was fine. I came along and sat down. We'll get, but I think by the bench might be different, as you're already alluding to. Okay, sof, masisa, hekum et ha'atza, loy tzricha, says the Gemara, de belavi, uavi midbar. Without the sixth guy, right? How many were sitting there originally? Five. And comes along Papa Baraba, and he sits down, the sixth guy, and then all of a sudden it breaks. With the five people that were sitting there, would have broken Betresha in 2 hours. Vahashta Idbar Bakadasha. Now it broke in 1 hour. Okay. Da Amrile, they can say to him, Ilavat, had you not come and sat down, we would have only going to sit here for 2 minutes and then get up. You know, we're going to sit for an hour and get up. We weren't going to let it break. And you came and sat down. You should have to pay for the whole thing. Ooh, that would be a chiddush. Okay, that's the chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching us. It wasn't, if it wasn't going to break without him at all, pasha that he has to pay for the whole thing. When he comes and sits down, he has to realize you're breaking the bench. You got to pay. But over here, it was going to break anyway. But they claim we're going to get up, and then we had time. You came and sat down and broke the whole thing. No, but says the Gemara, Lema lehu, ilava soyim bididi lo avi midbar. Why can't he say back to them, we're not for you guys? I wouldn't have broken the bench without you. It's only because of your contribution in terms of the weight that we broke the bench. If it would have been just me, nothing would have happened. So you should share in the responsibility. Why should I bear all the responsibility? I'm the last guy who came and sat down. You claim you were going to get up, and if it wouldn't have been for me, it would have broken later, but it wouldn't have broken now. So, but now, because I came and sat down and broke, I can say, it wouldn't have been for you. It wouldn't have broken. Why should I bear the whole brunt of the responsibility? We should share it. Moitzricha says the Gemara, the Bahadi the Samach Bohu Tavar. He lied down on top of them and prevented them from getting up. That's the case. So now, of course, so Pshita. So then it's Pashit. It's Pashit. I body slammed all the people. It was Pashit. Mao de Tema, no. Kocholav kekufa dami. I might have said that my weight is not considered to be my action. Kamash malan de kocha kegufa dami. To kohecha de gufa tavar kochanami tavar. Here too, even though your body didn't cause the damage or your weight caused the damage, that's also considered to be you causing the damage. What happened over here in this Gemara? Okay, so what's the final scenario which we're talking about? We're talking about there were five people sitting on the bench. It was going to break in 2 hours. Another guy came along and he sat down and it broke sooner. So he's obligated to pay for the whole thing. Why can't he say to them, if you would not have been here, it wouldn't have broken? Because we're talking about a case where he lied down on top of them. That's the Gemara's story.
Lying down, or like
Rashi says he prevented them from getting up. Nisma chaleim v'lo yachlu lamod.
Would it be
cocoa
if he lied down on it?
Yeah. Because he didn't break it with his body. Then I took a hammer and smashed the bench. I'm lying here. So it's like my, it's a little bit indirect. So that's considered to be your action. Cocoa is kagufa dummy. Yeah. Kochos kegufa dami. So what do you see from here? You see from here, your weight is a little bit considered to be your action. That's the whole chiddush of the Gemara. Even though it seems to be kocho, your weight, but your weight is considered to be your action. Yeah? You're chayav for breaking the bench with your weight. So this is relevant to the important shaila lamaisa regarding Shabbos elevators. In elevators, of course, to come into an elevator and push a button, there's a light behind each little thing. So in the olden days, there used to be a light bulb there. It could even be a malacha de rice. If you turn on a light bulb that has a glowing filament inside of it, where the metal gets red hot, that's considered to either be bishul or havara on Shabbos. You're causing the metal to get red hot, so it either is considered cooking by metal, or it's considered to be a fire mamish. So it's like kindling on Shabbos. But even if there's not, there's just an LED bulb behind it, or fluorescent bulb, or whatever it is. But we don't turn on electrical appliances on Shabbos, either according to the Chazon Ish, because it's boneh midoraisa. When you take something, the Chazon Ish considers all kalim that are off on Shabbos to be broken. And when you turn it on, it's now working. So it's boneh midoraisa. This, if it's off, it's broken. If I turn it on, then it's fixed. And it's bona midoraisa. Shlomo Zalman disagreed. He said, no, Chazon Ish didn't really understand what it means to be off and on. Every clearly has to, you want it sometimes to be on, you want it sometimes to be off. It's not broken when it's off. So Shlomo Zalman held that turning on an electrical appliance on Shabbos, even if it has no glowing filament, is us midorabanan, either because a molid, it's something that's a creative activity that's similar to a malacha, or because it's like a makab patish. Right? It's not broken, then I fixed it, but it's some creative activity that falls under one of those categories, midrabanan, yeah.
Didn't he say molid is only specific to the
case? Yeah, he goes back and forth. None of them really fit. Molid, makabapatish, none of them fit.
I thought it's neither one.
He goes through it a whole sefer from Oreish about the hearing aids, and he goes back and forth, molid, nolad, makabapatish. None of them really fit, but that doesn't mean at the end of the day that it's mutter. No one is willing to say these things are mutter, but it doesn't fit into classical categories that we have, but we assume that it falls into one of these isurim derabonon. Yeah, whatever isur derabonon that might be. Chazon Ish held it's a din d'oraisa, but we practically assume that electricity is asur derabonon. That's why it's always better to use electrical appliance than violating malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's the story with the electrical appliances. So, but what's the story with an elevator? I'm not going to push the button. It'll operate with a Shabbos mode. We all know what a Shabbos elevator is. It goes, stops at every floor, and then stops at every floor on the way down. It was going with or without me, I just get into the elevator and, go along for the ride. So it's a mutter to get into such an elevator on Shabbos. So Ramayisha has in his truva, the Igros Ramayisha, that no, you're not allowed to get in, because when you get into the elevator, it's using more electricity than if you had not gotten in. Without you, the elevator is going up, but now, to carry your weight, it has to use more electricity. So Shlomo Zalman and others disagreed with Ramayisha, that he simply didn't understand necessarily how electricity worked. And Shlomo Zalman is, spent years investigating electricity and the engineering of electricity and became the world's expert in electricity. We usually assume like Shlomo Zalman when it comes to electricity, just because he understood the technology the best. Shlomo Zalman comes, there's no more fire in the wires than, more electricity, less electricity, it's just resistance and current. There really isn't that much that's taking place substantively, maybe in an electrical plant somewhere, but it's nothing to do with what's taking place here in this elevator. So Moshe claimed it was like Havara, like you're taking a small flame and making a big flame. There's no flames going on over here, just electric current and resistance. So Rav Shlomo Zalman claimed that can't be a problem on Shabbos. And Rav Shlomo Zalman actually argues, which is always suspect when someone argues, at least within the position of someone they disagree with, he argued that even within the position of the Chazon Ish, that turning on electrical appliances on Shabbos is boneh. That should only be if it was off and you turned it on. If I adjust the volume, then he argued even the Chazon Ish would agree that was allowed. But that's always speculative, He didn't agree with the Chazon Ish. So they say, even the Chazon Ish only disagreed with me if it was off. Then you turned it on, maybe it was broken, and now you fixed it. If it was on already, then even the Chazon Ish would agree. The Chazon Ish people don't agree. But that was what Shlomo Zalman held. Yeah? No.
Isn't the power plant a problem there?
You're using more fuel in the power plant. Nothing to do with, not with the volume, not if you adjust resistance.
But if you're going down or up.
I don't know. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that wouldn't necessarily use more fuel going up or down in the elevator, no.
Okay.
maybe more current, less current. I don't know if that necessarily translates to more fuel or less fuel. I don't think there's a coal fire burning in all of these plants. So Rosham Zalmanfelder wouldn't. There wasn't a bigger fire, lesser fire, whether you got into the elevator or not. So, and that's why many assume, like Rosham Zalman, that if you increase electricity to the appliance, that's, you know, if it's already on, it's not necessarily the same Iser as turning something that was off and turning it on. So Shlomo Zalman claimed that that cannot be the issue of here. By the way, this comes up, let's say, we'll get to it in a second, fine. So is there a problem going up in the Shabbos elevator? Shlomo Zalman held no. Ah, it's using more electricity? Yeah, but so what? It's already on. When is the problem? So one of the Talmidim of Shlomo Zalman, he just passed away 2 months ago, was the world's expert on Shabbos elevators. His name was Reb Levi Yitzchak Halperin, who had a machon for technology in Halacha in Eretz Yisrael. There were two competing machon for technology in Halacha in Eretz Yisrael. There was Rabbi Halperin and the Tzomet, which is, you might have passed on your way to Yeshivas Haratzion from the old gate of Alon Shvut. As you walk to Yeshivas Haratzion, you pass a little outpost, which you ever wonder what it is. It's this organization called Tzomet. They put out Tchumen and other things. They put out nice journals, and they make the Shabbos gramophones and wheelchairs, which many people don't hold of. And all of these things. They put out all these kinds of things. So they were competing. They got along, obviously, but they were competing organizations. So anyway, Rabbi Halperin argued, of course, he was a Talmud, both Talmudim of Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman was the expert on electricity. So they both, Rabbi Halperin argued, going up in the elevator, it's not a problem, you're just using more electricity. That was going up. But going down in the elevator is a problem. We would think going up is a problem. It's going down, he said, is where you run into the problem. Why? Because there, the electricity doesn't kick in. What is it used to power the elevator with all the lights and the gadgets and the gizmos that are going on in the elevator? It uses your weight. It uses the power of gravity. If there's no weight in the elevator, then probably naturally has weight to the box of the elevator. You know, then the motor might kick in. But otherwise, it harnesses. It's efficient. It harnesses your weight to make it go down. Yeah, but is my weight my action? Is that attributed to me? Am I responsible for that? So Rabbi Halperin said, you see from this Gemara with the benches and Papa Bar Abba. Yes, kocho kegufo dami. You're responsible for it. If you're responsible for it by nezikin, if I sit down on a bench and it breaks, then I'm responsible. If I go into an elevator and harnesses my weight and my gravity to make the elevator go and to power the elevator, so going down in the elevator, argued Rabbi Halperin, was an issue, and therefore he created elevators that do not harness your gravity to power the elevator. They run based on electricity, even going down. Yeah.
Don't we say you don't cross between nezikin and Shabbos?
Sometimes there are crossovers, sometimes not. That's a good point. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Where the line is not our topic for today, but there'll be things that would be in common. Yeah.
You can't see that the double shalom is common?
That your weight should pat. Well, it's a ratio. It wouldn't really matter.
Yeah.
Wouldn't matter. It's going to happen either way. So. Yeah, so Rabbi Halperin created elevators that do not harness your electricity and your weight, and then he has his own kinds of elevators that they install, Shabbos elevators with the Hashgacha of Rabbi Halperin that don't use your weight to power the elevator going down. However, Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, who also passed away last year, who I had this chus of meeting a few times, he ran the Tzomet, which was a competing organization to Rabbi Halperin. So he ran the Tzomet. He had a article in his journal, which he published, called Chumen, which is a very well-known safer journal, technology and halacha. He published an article, not so fast. It's not so clear from our sugya that your weight is considered to be your action, because there's a machloek as Rashi and the Rambam, and perhaps the elevator issue should depend on the machloek as the Rashi and the Rambam. Look over here at the Os Aleph. In the Vilna Gaon, you see the beer, the Hagolas Hagra on the Gemara? There's an Os Aleph. What took place over here in the Gemara? Let's just review the Shach of Atariah. The Gemara began, we're trying to fit this into the Mishnah. Yeah, one guy came along, he contributed to the Hezek that occurred, he's obligated for the whole thing. So he said, well, what kind of case would that be referring to? That could perhaps be according to everyone, not so many qualifications. So he said, well, maybe he's talking about five people sitting on a bench. One guy comes along and he sits down and breaks the bench. So Gemara said, that can't be. If it was going to break without him, why should he be obligated? If it wasn't my covenant, meaning he should share in the responsibility, whatever. And if it wasn't going to break without him, he should be responsible for the whole thing. The Gemara said, no, it was going to break without him, but it was going to break in an hour, or, you know, 2 hours. And the people said, we were going to get up, but you came and sat down and it broke sooner. So he's obligated to pay for everything. And it's not poshut, that's a chiddush. He's obligated to pay for everything. So the Gemara said, look at the Yos Aleph, why can't he say to them, Ilava son, bididilo avi mitbar? If it wouldn't have been for me, if it wouldn't have been for you, I wouldn't have broken the bench. Five people are sitting there, a sixth guy come, and was going to break in 2 hours, sixth guy come, and it broke in an hour. Why can't he say to them, if it wouldn't be for you, I wouldn't have broken the bench alone? Yeah? So they should share the responsibility. Why should they share the responsibility? Because they didn't get up. Because they didn't get up. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'lei melehu, ilav ason bididi, l'chud lo havi mitbar. V'atem kishi yashavti haya lachem lamod. When I sat down, the sixth guy came and he sat down, you people should have got up. U'midelo amadetem atem kamoni, from the fact that you didn't get up, you are like me. She borrowed them, but got mashlim boila. Okay. She says, because you didn't get up, you should be obligated to pay. And if you look at the next Rashi, Rashi says that this is even going on the first case of the Gemara. What was the first case? Five people are sitting. The bench is fine. It's good. It's stable. Nothing's going to happen. A sixth guy comes and he plops himself down. The bench breaks. The Gemara said he should be chayav for the whole thing. He did everything. The Gemara now is saying, no, not so fast. He can say to them, when I sat down, why didn't you get up? It only broke because of the contribution of your weight. You should also be obligated to pay. Huh? So according to Rashi, a guy who stands sitting there doing nothing and nothing's breaking, when another guy comes along, he could say, and the bench breaks because of his additional weight, he could say to the first people, you're liable too because you didn't get up. Meaning a guy is stationary. Not that he's, he's just standing there. He's just sitting on the bench. But the fact that he didn't get up and get out, he's responsible for that action that his weight causes. So then he says Rabbi Rosen, according to Rashi, Rabbi Halpern's argument makes good sense. If you're going to harness my end of my weight in the elevator, the power of the elevator, that's my action. The people were sitting there, Stamazoi, nothing's breaking. Another guy comes along, he's the additional weight, now he's going to break with all of them. He could say, you people have to participate because you didn't get up. However, look at the Hagos Hagra. Hagos Hagra says, Nira be'enai HaRambam lo garas. The Rambam wiped out this line in the Gemara. V'lei melehu ilav ason bididi lo havi mitbar. Why can't he say back to them, were it not for you people, I wouldn't have broken it alone? No, he can't say that to them. He can't say that to them. Why not? Why can't he say it to them? So Rabbi Rosen suggests he can't say it to them because they're not doing anything. They're just sitting here. Stamazoi, we're sitting here. The bench is fine. We're on a park bench in Central Park. Nothing's going on. Feeding the pigeons, whatever we do, playing chess. You came along and sat down and broke the bench. So you're obligated to pay because you caused something through your weight. I'm just sitting here. We're just sitting here. We're not responsible for actions that are caused by our weight. If we're not, nothing happened immediately, we're not doing anything. We're just sitting here. We contributed, yes, once you sat down, but if our weight didn't cause something to happen right away, we're not responsible for it, yeah?
So I'm just to understand this better. So the opposite case of where they would be chayav is, let's say they're jumping up and down.
Yes, then you'd be obligated for your weight.
But if they're just sitting, then it's like...
I go up in the elevator, nothing happened. Then all of a sudden I come down in the elevator and it harnesses my power, my gravity, the weight of my the gravity of my weight to power the elevator. That has nothing to do with me. That's like the guy who's sitting on the bench. Then someone else comes along later and sits down. You can't say to me, you contributed to that, because I didn't do anything.
So
I just stood here.
Your cover,
no, it's only if I get into the elevator and now it goes down, maybe. But if I'm just sitting in the elevator and it goes up, then it goes down. Yeah.
But can it be possible that even if the other five guys got up, then this one guy sat down, he'd break himself?
If that's the case, then we're not even discussing that.
Oh, obviously it's not that it cracked. It's that it's like a maximum capacity.
Yes, correct, of course. Yeah. So, and the Tur seems to disagree with Rashi as well. Look at the Tur, Shulchan Aruch, over here, Ois Daud, Chamisha Sheyashva, Kisei Velo Nishbar. Five people sat down on the bench. Let's see, the Rambam first says the same case, which is really the paradigm of the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Rambam, Ois Daud, Ois Gimel should be. Chen Chamisha Sheyashva, Kisei Velo Nishbar, Uba Ha'achron V'yashav Olo V'nishbar. Five people are sitting there and it didn't break. Someone else comes along later and it breaks. Even though it was going to break already. The last one is Chayev. I was going to break already. Because we're talking about where he lied down on top of them. That's the Gemara. Yeah. But if it broke all at once, then not. So what does it sound like from the Rambam? It sounds like from the Rambam that he, the last guy, is only Chayev. What does it sound like from here? How is this not like Rashi? If only going says it from Rashi, from Tosfos Rambam, it sounds like he didn't have this girsa. Because we're only talking about a case where it was going to break anyway. Let's say it wasn't going to break anyway. Let's say it was not going to break anyway. Yeah, let's say the following case. One second. Let's say you have five people sitting on a bench. And it's not going to break. Someone else comes and lies down on top of them with the weight of all six. Now it breaks. So Rashi would say, in that scenario, who's Chayev? Just the last guy. Why? Because he lied down on top of them. And he can't say to them, why didn't you guys get up? Because he was lying down on top of them. According to the Rambam, in that situation, let's say it wasn't going to break without them. Let's say it wasn't going to break in 2 hours. It wasn't going to break at all. Wasn't going to break at all. And then someone else comes, five people are sitting there, a sixth person comes, even if he's not lying down on top of them, the Rambam would hold, he comes along and he breaks it, he's Chayev. That's the case where they disagree. Yeah, Chevra? Five people sitting there. It's not breaking. A sixth guy comes and he sits down. According to Rashi, that's only, he can say to them, why don't you guys get up? And we're all Chayev to pay. The only time the last guy we have to pay for everything is if he lied down on top of them. The Tur and the Rambam hold, no! The only time that that we would all be chayv if I didn't lie down on top of you, if it was going to break anyway, with just the five. But if five would have sat there and would not have broken, even if I'm not lying down on top of you, I have to pay for everything. Because you can't say to the five who were sitting there, why don't you guys get up? You're not chayv for your actions if they're caused by your weight. If you're just sitting there and nothing's happening. That's where Rashi and the Tur disagree. Chavi, you hear what the case where they disagree? That's where they disagree. So Rashi holds you're chayv for the actions that your weight caused, even if you're just sitting there. And therefore, you should have really gotten up. The only time the last guy has to pay for everything is if he's lying down on top of you. No difference between when the bench was going to break without me, without me coming, or no difference where it was going to break. According to the Tur and the Rambam, no, you're only chayev. The last guy's only chayev if he lied down on top of them where the bench was going to break, anyway. Otherwise, it's even if he's not lying down on top of them. He's the one who came. He's the straw that broke the camel's back. He would be obligated to pay, and the other guys are not responsible to pay at all because you're not responsible for your actions. They're just sitting there. Yeah, Benji, what do you want to say?
What if it's a case where five guys are sitting on the bench and they're all nice, so they decide to shift over for the guy to sit down, and the guy sits down and breaks? They all cause like a movement, which might have made the bench to...
You would have to find out. I'm not a structural engineer. I wouldn't think that five people moving over would cause the bench to break. It's probably the additional
weight on it. Like the more that once you stand,
you're getting into structural engineering now. I don't know.
It shouldn't matter.
But I don't know the structural engineering that well. That's a whole science. How weight distribution and support. Yeah.
What if the five people are sleeping? Rashi holds that they're
Still their weight, but they're not aware.
That's like a guy who comes down and puts Kalin next to a guy who's sleeping. We can't expect you to get up. So Rashi would probably say, yeah. Rashi would probably say there. Oh, that's like you lie down on top of them. How am I supposed to? I would have gotten up if I know you weren't going to sit down. Yeah. But maybe I should have said, no, I'm sitting on a bench where I know someone else is going to sit down,
right,
and together we'll break the bench, unless it's Papa Baraba who comes to sit down. We'll have to figure out, are all these people Papa Barabas, or was there only one Papa Baraba? Yeah.
According to the Rambam and Tzur, they say the case where they disagree where the five guys sitting on the bench it's not breaking. Sixth guy comes,
yeah,
goes sits on the bench, it breaks. They would say there that is the case where...
Again. What's your case?
Yeah, same case. I just want to clarify. Rambam and Tzur say...
Let's review like this. The Gemara concludes, what's the case we're talking about? We're talking about a case where it was going to break in 2 hours because you came and sat down, it was broken an hour. So Gemara says, you're obligated to pay for everything because we're talking about a scenario where you lie down on the other people and prevented them from getting up. Yeah. What about in a case where it wasn't going to break it wasn't going to break with them alone in 2 hours, it wasn't going to break at all. And I came and I sat down too. And I'm not lying down on anybody. That's the machlokes, the tour, and Rashi. The tour would say, you have to obligated to pay for everything.
The last guy.
Yeah. Broke because of you. And according to Rashi, he could say to them, because he had the gears in the Gemara, no, you should have gotten up. So if I'm lying down on you, yes, then I'm obligated to pay. If I'm not lying down on you, that I'm not obligated to pay. And according to the tour, only the last guy would be obligated to pay. To be honest with you, it sounds like from the tour that let's say it wasn't going to break at all with five people sitting there. Yeah, a sixth guy comes and he sits down and he lies down on top of them and prevents them all from getting up, and now it breaks. Not that it was going to break in 2 hours and now broke in an hour. It wasn't going to break at all with the five people sitting there. Now another guy comes and he lies down on top of them and it breaks. So the Torah says, in that scenario, only the last guy would be obligated to pay. Why is that so different than a bench that was going to break in 2 hours and now broken in an hour, where, only if I'm lying down on top of you am I obligated to pay? We'll get to all the cases again. But where's the machlokas the Torah and Rashi? The machlokas the Torah and Rashi is if a guy sits down, there are five people sitting on a bench, it wasn't going to break, a sixth guy comes and he sits down and now it breaks. According to the Torah, only the last guy is to pay. According to Rashi, we might all have to pay if I wasn't lying down on anybody, because I could say to you guys, why didn't you guys get up? The only time, the scenario is, where I have to pay for the whole thing is if I'm lying down on people. I prevent you from getting up. Otherwise, we should share responsibility. And the Torah would say, no, you're the guy who broke it. Of course, it wasn't going to break without you. You came and broke it. You should have to pay for the whole thing. The Shaila is a person responsible for his weight, the actions that are caused by his weight, if he's just sitting there. The Torah holds no. Rashi holds yes. So Rabbi Halpern argued that this is the machlekes, should have enough nafkamina with regards to the elevators. That if I'm sitting in an elevator, all of a sudden the elevator starts to go down and harnesses my electricity to power the elevator, according to Rashi, I could be responsible for that weight, and therefore perhaps we need an elevator that doesn't harness my weight in the running of the elevator. And according to the Tour and the Rambam, I'm not responsible for my weight. There's no reason the people on the bench have to get up. They're not responsible for what their weight causes. If a sixth person comes and sits down, that's your fault. I'm just sitting here. I'm not responsible for the action. The only time I'd be responsible for it if it was going to break anyway in 2 hours. Now it's going to break in an hour. Oh, so something was going to happen as a result of my actions anyway. Now I begin to become chayav. But if I'm just sitting here, nothing's happening. All of a sudden something starts to happen without me. I'm not responsible for my weight. No.
Is this at all when we get to second where you throw something out straight and it comes down?
I don't think so. However, one final svar with regards to the Shabbos elevators is Rosh Shlomo Zalman, of course, has in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa a compelling svar, which he argued with Rabbi Halpern. I don't know why Rabbi Halpern ignored this part of it, because a long footnote in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Rosh Shlomo Zalman argues a big yesoid in Hilchos Shabbos that I can only be chayv in Ochas Shabbos, Melech Shabbos, if I cause a change with my actions. L'moshel. And you might, some of you might remember from the prehistoric, you know, dinosaur ages, that the alarms in houses used to have wires. Now most of them run remotely or whatever. But they used to have wires. So they used to have like tape around the edge of the window, and maybe you've heard of such things. So it used to be, in order to get out, how do you get out of your house on Shabbos? There used to be switches next to the window. If you want to open the window, there was a switch, a bypass, or next to the front door, there was a bypass. What did the bypass do? There was a little box which turned the current, the alarm turned on when the current was broken. So it turned the current the other way. Instead of running it, you know, down next to the door, and when the door opened, it broke the circuit, it would run it back up the other way and somewhere else in the house, and the circuit would remain intact. So it was an up-down switch. What about flipping those things in Shabbos? Let's say the alarm is on the front door, and now I want to turn it up to open the circuit, and the electricity will run the other way, so if I turn open my front door, the alarm is not going to turn on. And now systems, you always have to bypass everything. There's a little green lights everywhere. But okay, in those days, it was just wires. So Shlomo Zalman argued, yes, you could do that on Shabbos. Why? Because nothing changed. What changed with your action? I flipped the switch. What happened? Current began running in one direction over the other. I don't see that. Nothing happened that I see. So if no change occurs on Shabbos based on your actions, that can never be described as Melech Shabbos. So to argue the Shlomo Zalman over here, what was going to happen with me in the without me in the elevator? It was going to go up and down. What's going to happen with me in the elevator? It's going to go up and down. The fact that I got in, it harnesses my power, my gravity, my weight, perhaps to run the elevator and power the elevator on its way down. Yeah, but nothing changed. The elevator was going up, it was going down, with or without me. So it says to Shlomo Zalman, whenever the elevator is going to run with or without me in it, the same way, you're never chayav for your actions on Shabbos. So even if Rabbi Halpin is right, maybe he's wrong. Meaning, even if he's right, that a person is responsible for his weight and halacha, even if I'm just standing there, I was on the way up, now I was coming down, I didn't do anything, I'm just sitting here on the bench. Even though you might be responsible for that, as Rashi told us, I'm just sitting here, another guy sits down, we're all chayav to pay for the broken bench, even if he didn't lie down on me, because I could say to the sixth guy, I could say to the first five, why don't you guys get up? Even if I am responsible for my actions that are caused by my weight, here it was going to happen anyway. So if it was going to happen anyway, in the exact same fashion as it's happening now, there is literally no detectable change based on what's taking place. It can never be described as Melech Shabbos. Yeah.
So would you be allowed to get on a bus or something like that?
Escalator.
Well, like a car, let's say a transportation is going.
Someone suggested this.
Somewhere else. And
yeah, the trolley. The train. Subway to shul. Someone in the Hamptons, the rabbi in the Hamptons, I remember once, came to Rishef, and we were sitting with Rishef, the guy came, and he had an idea. He said, a lot of people don't come to shul on Shabbos because it's too far of a walk in the Hamptons. I don't know the layout of the shuls. But so he said, we have an idea to get people to come to shul. And you're vowed to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, we just spoke about it, in order to allow the shul to function. If the lights are off, the air conditioning exhaust, everyone knows, you can ask the Shabbos guy in the shul to turn it on. Isurim derabanan amuta for mitzvah derabanan. So he says over here, let's hire a guy to go pick everybody up in a access a ride or something, one of these vans, and pick everybody up for shul. It's amira lenachri, and let them come to shul in that fashion. And he wanted to call it the Shabbos. Shabbos. Shechter was rolling. He thought that was very funny. But no, we can't do it that way. Even though you're right, it could be that it's not a problem. Maybe it's going to happen either way. And maybe when you get into a car, it doesn't use more gas. Some argue when you add another person into a car, it really uses more gas. Let's say a guy's going to the hospital, wife is going to the hospital to give birth, and her mother-in-law wants, the mother wants to come. So can we start piling into the taxi to go to the hospital? So some argue, no, it uses more gas than before. So over here, we used to have, over here in YU, called the Belfer School of Mathematics, I think, and Physics, which is why the school building is named Belfer. It is now defunct, doesn't exist anymore, and was the subject of a Supreme Court case, if you're interested to see what happened to the Belfer School of Physics or Mathematics. We have two Supreme Court cases, I believe. Yeshiva was involved in. That was one of them. Yeah, so right? Impressive, Jews. So that school is no longer here. But when it did exist, they studied this. does an additional person in the car increase the number of times that you press the pedal on the gas, and they were unable to, it was indeterminate because there's too many factors. The gas, the road styles of driving, it was too, how heavy is the car? So it could be allowed. It could be you don't need more gas, and I think more people can pile into the car on the way to the hospital. But the Shabbos is a problem for other reasons. The getting on the subway is no good for Shabbos for probably certainly not Shabbosic. Yeah. Okay, we have to finish up the sugya from tomorrow. So, chaver, see the rest of the Marmar Tumas and see this Tais as Yudam and Aleph. It's fun stuff. Okay, shkayim.